We're going to, there are a few other things that we want to talk about, kind of the space and what's happening and the latest, and maybe even share a little bit what we just keep dreaming about, how to use this and what we want to do with it. But let's do that near the very end, okay? And we'll even mention some things about kind of house church stuff and things we've talked about doing as a church as it relates to, you know, when we meet and where we meet, and we'll give you more information on that. At the end of the morning. Is that okay? Is that good, Jay? Yeah, all right. Hey, John, I'd like to do this. John is the guy that helps lead our band. Can we take a second well, you know what? First, I'm going to pray, and then I want to kind of find out what songs, you know, you guys have kind of prepared for and what we could use today, and I'll explain why in a minute. But let's pray together first, okay? Lord, we first want to acknowledge that we are here and we are alive and taking a breath and blinking our eyes only because you allow it to be. You are the God who Lord, not only create everything, but the Bible tells us you sustain everything. You give us all these things. So we want to thank you. We just want to acknowledge that you are the God that does that, and we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and that you have enabled us to be here and be part of this, part of what is a divinely appointed moment and experience and time that we would be together. We come to meet with you. We come to hear from you. We come to just become more of what you desire of us. And so we ask that you would make us ready for it, open to receive whatever you want to do today. And we just acknowledge that you are the Lord of this church, the Lord of all of creation, King over all things, and our lives are about worshiping you. That's what you created us for, and whether we realize that or not, that's what we want to give ourselves to do even today. So, thank you, Lord, and help us to do that. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I was on my way here this morning, and I thought, and my wife said to me, you know what, I am so excited again. I just love going to be part of the church again. And it was kind of cool because I thought, we come to do this thing together, but ultimately to see Christ, to worship Him, and this thought just struck me for a second that, you know, though we are created in a way that every single person possesses, as one theologian put it, the spark of God, we're all created in His image, we all reflect something of the person of God. And so when you engage with another person, you see glimpses of God, okay, in the good things that are part of that person. But then collectively, all of us together, we see more fully the picture of who God is, what God is like. But especially when if you've given your life, say, I'm going to follow Christ with my life. I'm going to give my life to become all the things that God desires me to be and what God wants to do. I want to be open to that. And so even all the more in the life of a person who has come to that point, you see more of God and more of the person of Christ in them. So imagine what it can be like when we're all together and collectively we begin to see more fully the picture of who this God is. And I am so excited about that. But I want to point out to you, that's why it's so important that when we do meet together, you are a part of it. And you say, I want to be there because I know I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to experience Him. I'm going to see Him in some way. That's the reality of it. That's what the Bible tells us. So I think that's part of why we're excited to be here. We want to learn together. We want to discover God together more. We want to experience whatever He has for us. Part of that is we use music and the language of songs to do that. Songs are just a unique language to kind of express to God things, to learn things about God. Because you know how music is so tied to emotion? And you know, you hear a song and you go, oh, I just want to go, like, marry this person, or I want to go conquer the world, or I want to go skydiving, or whatever it is, and, you know, or go sell my trailer if you listen to country, and, you know, stuff like that. And it just stirs things in you, right? And music is important, and that's why we use it. So here's my question, John. I kind of want to know, what are the songs that you guys have worked on that we could use today? And I want you to pay attention to it. Maybe we even look at a couple of the lyrics so you kind of go, oh, yeah, I remember that song, or I've heard that before. Because as we go through our discussion and teaching, there may be some really cool times we could use those songs to help us.
Yeah, we prepared to do Your Love, O Lord. You Are So Good to Me. He Reigns.
Okay.
Oh, Praise Him. And then The Heart of Worship.
Okay.
We did a couple weeks ago.
Okay, good. You got any of you kind of familiar? I know some of you might be familiar with some of those songs. Your Love, O Lord, it reaches to the heavens. I don't remember what else, but lots of good things. What's the blessed be? No. You Are So Good to Me. God, You Are So Good to Me. You Are My Father in Heaven. You Are, yeah, You're Beautiful, My Sweet Song. Then a couple other songs just to kind of, I don't know, praise God for who He is and so forth. Do you wanna start with maybe a couple of those, just to kind of connect us to what this thing is about and what we're here to do? Yes, maybe no. Are you in the mood for singing right now? Are you? Could we do that? Are you asleep? I know there's stuff going on. Hey, by the way, if at any point you get really warm, just reach behind you. You can open a window and cool yourself down if you need to. Well, sorry. I'm looking. Yes. Should we do maybe a couple songs? Yes. Sir. All right. We'll do that. Why don't we do a couple of the songs, just kind of praising and celebrating? Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever you feel.
Yeah,
You know, we really want. For our times to be together, for our times together to be not so much staged, you know, not so much kind of, hey, well, now, as though you come and you're just told what to do at every moment, you know, by us. What we want is for the Spirit of God Himself to kind of just put things together and move things together in a way that it really then is kind of a natural thing, and it just flows out of the heart of who we are and what we're experiencing together. Do you follow what I'm saying? We don't even know what that will look like every week. I don't know. It's kind of a weird, scary thing, but we're just trying to let these things happen as maybe God stirs our heart. And so even knowing the songs, the stuff that they've been working on and preparing to do, it may work well. It may fit with where we're at and how God's leading and stuff. And it may not, okay? And so we'll kind of try to explore that together. Hi, beautiful. How are you? Huh? Sorry, I know. Okay. It's cool being in here with Mom, but not with you, right? All right. Well, last week, this week, I saw part of a movie that I showed some clips of a few years back, so it's been quite a while. And it's a movie I've loved for a long time, and it's the movie Last of the Mohicans. Okay? Right. And it's a guy movie, right? But anybody have you seen that? Has anybody seen it? Okay, you like it too, Holly? Oh yeah. Awesome movie. Great movie. And in fact, I mean, there are so many things in this movie that I think are great pictures of the whole story of the Bible. It's a different way to tell a story. And perhaps if Jesus were here today to kind of tell the whole story, maybe He'd use that. You know, the story of God is like the Last of the Mohicans. I don't know, but it's a great way. In fact, from the very beginning, the opening scene is this amazing picture of God, of what God is like. The opening scenes, in fact, while they're rolling the credits even, there are these three guys running through the woods, okay? And And each scene is just them like hurtling trees and running through the bushes and it doesn't take you long to figure out they're chasing something. But you're kind of wondering what is going on? You know, what is this thing that has these three kind of running through the woods, and they keep flashing from one scene, and here's a guy, and one guy's way up on the ridge, and one guy's kind of down lower, and they're running, and they keep looking, and you know they're chasing, they're pursuing something. And it's a great picture of God. In fact, I think it's a wonderful opening picture for understanding the story of the Bible. We started talking about this a little bit last week, because we said, look, we know that for journey, the journey for us is yet again at kind of a new stage. And I think sometimes, so that we don't get lost in, I don't know, the details and minutiae of what just the little things of what might be going on, what may be changing, and so that we don't get confused by the pain sometimes that comes with change, we have to go, well, what's the big picture? What's this thing God is doing that we are part of, that we are included in? And from the very beginning, we realize that there is this great adventure taking place. And there are these three. God is three persons in one. There are these three that are in pursuit of something. They're chasing after this deep passion of theirs. Now, anybody know in Last of the Mohicans, what is it? What are they chasing?
Dinner.
Yeah. And they shoot it, right? Okay. God doesn't do that, okay? He's chasing after what? Do you remember what I mentioned last week? It's a romance. Yeah. He's chasing after his bride. He's chasing after the church. He's chasing after you and I. Okay? And so, you know, so if you can kind of see it in movie form, I think that's how it would open, you know? And so what's this thing all about? What's this big picture? Well, last week, talked to you for a moment about how I reminded you that from the beginning, in the very beginning, the Bible opens with a story about a boy and a girl, okay? A man and a woman. And there's this relationship. And you know what? The Bible ends with this relationship, a wedding that is about to take place. And there's so much in between that continues to just kind of unfold this same story. And I told you that when you read the story of Genesis, you see that at one point, God put Adam to sleep temporarily, okay? It wasn't like, you know, you take your pet to the vet kind of thing. It was, he had Adam fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he opened Adam's side, right? And what did he do? Took a rib. And what did he do next? What? Okay, that's right. He closed up the wound first, and then he made a woman. Okay? And then I said, now, jump ahead to the time of Jesus. And Jesus is hanging on the cross. And what happens? He dies on the cross. He enters into the sleep of death. While his body's still hanging there, what do they do? Okay, they pierce his side. A wound opens up in his side. And he, you know, it says blood and water flows. All this is amazing imagery to the biblical writers. And they're telling the story. This is what happened. The literal person of Jesus, this is what happened to him. But here's why. You know, his side is opened. And then he's laid in the tomb. And God in essence heals him. And what happens? 3 days later, he rises again. Now, when Adam woke up from his sleep, who did he find? Eve. Hey, that's all right, you know. I must have been dreaming a long time, but this is good. He wakes up to Eve. When Jesus is resurrected from the tomb, then comes the church. Okay? And in the Bible, we see a number of things that, a number of pictures, word pictures, and metaphors, if you will, that describe this creation, this new creation, as a result of the death of Jesus. So for example, the church, by the way, the story of, you know, this pursuit like I was talking to you about, and this chase and this romance thing, it's all about God pursuing this beautiful lady, this bride, if you will. The church, that's one thing. The church is called the bride of Christ. It's called, among other things, the new humanity. Think of it this way, get this, new humanity. Eve was taken out of Adam. That was the beginning of the human race. But then when Christ dies, Christ is wounded. He enters the sleep of death, all that stuff, just like Adam. But now, something new is born, kind of, it issues, it comes out of the person of Christ. And that is the church. That is people who are, who will give of themselves to God as He reveals Himself and what He's purposed for their life. That is the new humanity. You and I, if we are part of that, we are this new humanity. There's a new way to live. There's a new existence. Okay, the church is also called the bride. And I told you, the Bible is full of this bride and bridegroom imagery that tells the big story of the Bible. And I just remembered, you probably want me to change it a little bit. The Bible begins and it ends with that picture. Another one is the body. The body. The Bible calls the church the body. You know what this is? This is all about the idea that in the church, it's as though Jesus, it's like the second incarnation of Jesus. All throughout the Bible, Jesus hardly ever separates Himself. It's as though He doesn't distinguish Himself from His church at all. And we become the body of Jesus. Just as Adam and Eve came from Adam, and they were joined together and become one flesh, the church comes from Christ, and it's as though we are one with the person of Jesus. That's the picture, the mental picture, the imagery that the Bible gives us and wants us to understand. And so part of it is, it's important that we understand, what is this thing about? So that's why I say, even today, when we gather together here, it's coming to be part of the body of Jesus in a more full and complete way than you have been all week, because we haven't all been together like this all week, right? We are expressing new humanity. We are in part the bride of Christ. So that being said, it's so important that we grasp the significance of what it means for us, among those things, to be the church and to do this church thing together. Okay, if you have a Bible, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. By the way, there are Journey Bibles here if you need one or want one. And you would find it on page. Go ahead, grab them. If you need one, wave your hand. We'll pass one down the aisle to you. Colossians chapter 1, you'd find it on page 1553 in this Bible. Anybody want it? Need it? All right. So if Eve and all of humanity issued from the person of Adam, this new humanity comes from Christ, and there is life. There's this mysterious thing that we're told in the Bible God has been doing. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 or 25 to 27, would somebody read that out loud, please? Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 27.
I have become its servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness.
Okay, stop right there for a second. Paul is this guy, he says, God has chosen me to unpack this mystery for you. The full thing. What's this big story, this big thing God's doing? Go ahead, keep going.
Verse 26. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, now get this. Listen. Do you know what this church thing is all about? The bride of Christ, the new humanity. It is this. You know, as Eve came from Adam and they shared together as one flesh, she, you know, she was part of him and vice versa. That's what the church is. And he says right there, this is all about Jesus living in you. It is all about, this new humanity is about Jesus taking up residence in your life. Your whole life is about Christ entering in and enabling you to become part of this bigger thing of the body of Christ. And this week, we started talking about that last week. We said, wait, what is the mystery? The mystery is that the mystery of life in Christ is this, that Christ can live in you. And there's no need to kind of just, you know, try to get by and get through life and be, you know, continue to live in brokenness of sin and all these things. Christ says, I want to take up residence in your life. Your life as individually and your life, all of you together, corporately. And we started talking about that last week. And you know what? I was in here Monday morning and I'm on my knees, probably about right in here, and I'm just praying. And I start thinking about a lot of you guys, those of you particularly who were here last Sunday, and I'm picturing kind of where you were. And I remember Rhonda Smith was sitting right here where Aaron is today. And I'm praying through people. And I'm going, and I said, God, help us to know the significance of this thing that Christ in me, Christ lives in me, and you want to take up residence in me. What does it look like? What does it mean for me today to have Jesus in me? And I just kept turning that over in my mind. Jesus in me. Christ in me. Christ in us. And as I was praying for you guys, I was praying, God, help us to discover together more of what that means. Because that's the deal here, okay? That's what God's up to and what God wants to do. He wants your life to look like Christ. Look like Jesus. And even all the more, fully and completely, when we are together and when we function as the body of Christ. Are you following? Are you tracking? A little bit, kind of. Yes? No? Okay. But here's where I was bothered by all of it. Because I began to kind of ask myself the question. I began wondering, Jesus in me, Christ in us, is this something that would interest us enough to really give shape to our day? I said, God, it's Monday. And we just talked about this great thing that you've been doing is that Jesus would live in us and we would actually be the second incarnation of Jesus right now until he returns in, you know, his physical body to be king over all creation. In the meantime, we are the presence of Christ. Does that interest us enough to shape our day? To kind of center the things that we do and what we would want to be about around it? Is, I don't know. So I want us to dialogue just a little bit. I want to ask you your opinion, your thoughts on that. Here's my question for you. As you know, Christian people, and my goodness, that term needs to be applied quite loosely, all right? It can mean a good thing, it can mean a not good thing. As you know, Christian people, how interested do you think they are in spiritual growth generally? You see, if our life is to be about Jesus and the purpose of our life, in fact, you know what? Let me show you a couple verses, I guess, first before. Romans chapter 8. These are going to help you understand this. Listen to what he says. We know that in everything, that in all things, God works for the good of those people who love him in return, who have responded to this. You know, God's chasing after us. God wants this relationship with us. And we go, hey, I like that. I dig that. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work, right, when you're, you know, when there's this guy, right? And you kind of want to, you know, I don't know, get to know them a little better. But he's not interested. It doesn't work. So, for those who love him, those who respond to him, God works together for the good in all things. Those who have been called according to his purpose. You know what? God knew well ahead of time. And he had planned and purposed, it says, that he could have this relationship with us so that what? We could be conformed to the likeness of his son. In other words, so that we could look like Jesus. So that you could live like Jesus. You think a lot of times you go, man, that Jesus, he was the bomb or whatever. I don't, you know, he's awesome. Of course Jesus can do that because, you know, he's Jesus, right? And do you hear this thing? God wants to shape us into that very thing. That very thing. Look at the next one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, I think it is, right? Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You must live the way Jesus did. If you claim to know him, if you claim to actually be in this relationship with him, then goodness sakes, start experiencing Christ in you, Jesus in you. Live as this Jesus. That's the purpose of God for your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make you just like Jesus. He wants to make you, in essence, a part of him. And the next one. Oh, this I like this next one. John, he uses this bride and bridegroom imagery. Have you ever seen this? He says the bride belongs to the bridegroom. He's just talking generally about this is kind of what a wedding would be like. The friend who attends the bridegroom, what we call the best man, he waits and listens for the groom. And he says, that's my job. I'm waiting and listening for the groom, the one who's to come after me. I am so filled with joy. I am thrilled to serve him in this way. And look at that last line. He must become greater. I must become less. There it is again. It's all about Jesus and becoming more like Jesus and less like me. But, so here's my question. How interested do you think Christian people generally are in that? Tell me, what do you think? They aren't. Okay? You don't think they are at all. You want to expand on that? Tell me what? What's that? Okay, what's that? Okay, maybe on Sundays they are. All of a sudden Sunday's like, oh, hey, I should probably kind of get interested in this Jesus thing for a couple hours, right? Oh, man.
When it might not sound so good to us, then we're a lot less interested.
Yeah.
And I say we because of...
Yeah. Oh, I understand. I see that in my own life. When we think there's something that would benefit us or interest us or make life better for us or whatever it is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's the kind of thing you're talking about, then we're interested, right? We go, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Good point. When bad things happen, when bad stuff's going on. Let me do a little illustration. Can I have you two young ones here? And I don't care. Mr. Carlson, two Carlson boys, will you come on up here and help me with something? Can you do that? I won't embarrass anybody. You don't have to say or dance or sing or anything, okay? All right. Here's the deal. All right, I'm going to give you this one and you this one and you this one. And we'll kind of do it in this order. And then Kaya right here, okay? Carlson up here. Okay, how many of you have been to Cold Stone Creamery? Yeah, okay? And you walk in there, and what is Cold Stone all about? Ice cream, okay? Ice cream. You're right down here. All about ice cream, right? And you go in there, and you can order a few different sizes or versions of it, right? Now, they've got a little one. What's this one called? Jeez. Oh, yeah, it's like, it's the culture. You got it, you know? You go, okay, this is a like it. Okay, that's what they call it, like it. Okay? What's the next one called?
Love it.
And you know the one I order? Okay, gotta have it. So now, but you may not be into Cold Stone ice cream at all, and you just assume leave it. All right. So we got leave it, like it, love it, and gotta have it. Can you guys just spread out just a little bit? Okay. All right. Yep. There we go. Okay. So leave it, like it, love it, gotta have it. Maybe give me on a scale. This scale, this kind of speaks our language here a little bit, okay? We know Cold Stone is about ice cream. If the church is about Christ. It is about Jesus. And it is about becoming more like Him. I ask you the question, when most people say, I want to be part of church, whatever that means to them, where do they go? Really, when it comes to becoming more like Christ, when it comes to spiritual growth and maturity, where do most of us fall? Like it? You think? Any objections? What's that? Okay, depends on who's watching. Okay. All right, man. See, good. Okay, do you agree with you catching it? You know, yeah, it depends on who's watching. Dan, you said something the other day because I was kind of asking you this question, and you said, well, it seems that people are as interested to the degree, very much like what Christy said, to the degree that, well, I'm going to kind of do this Christian thing. How did you say that? It was a good statement.
I know I separated into two demographics.
Okay.
But I don't remember what I said.
I don't really remember either.
It was more of a self-serving purpose where
I know. You said we do what we need to do to get God to be happy with us or be pleased with us. It was something to that effect. Okay. You just say so many good things all the time, you don't even remember all of them, right? Is that the deal? I would agree with you. Any other comments on this? Where do most Christian people, when it comes to become like Jesus, grow, spiritual growth and maturity, where do most of them fall, Rebecca? Oh. Yeah, I'll leave that one. I don't want any part of that. But I enjoy this piece of it. In fact, I got to have it. Yeah. Okay, that's a good point, too. That's a good way of thinking through it. Any other comments on it? Hey, thanks, you guys. Okay, appreciate your help. All right, yep. I should have actually grabbed some bowls from Cold Stone, but I didn't think of it in time. You know, that's kind of the way my mind works. What are the kinds of things that tend to come before spiritual growth and maturity and becoming like Jesus? I mean, I go, God, are we really interested in this? Do we really want this? What are the things that, I don't know, what are some of the other things that tend to come first? Our schedules? Yeah, good. Work? What else?
If things are easy or if they're difficult.
Okay, whether things are easy, yeah, easy or difficult. Okay, what else?
Fear.
Family, just, yep. Family relationships, what's that?
Desire.
I heard fear.
Fear.
Pride. Yeah, pride.
Xbox.
Xbox. You know what? Most of us, listen, and I hope you understand what I mean when I say this. Most of us, we don't need it. I mean, we got a home. We got food in our cupboard. We got a bank account. We get ESPN with our cable package. I mean, our kids are pretty much safe to and from school. Spiritual growth and maturity, becoming more like Jesus, really? I don't know. I don't think it's that important. I don't think that important to it. And you know what? I think churches and Journey has probably been as guilty of this as anyone. I think churches and this thing we call church and this thing we do, church on Sundays, does all kinds of things often, but lead us to spiritual growth and maturity and really call us to become like Jesus. And we get so sidetracked on all the other things that a church can do or should do or could be, or we hope they have this and do that. And who's grown? Who's becoming more like Jesus around here? Is there anybody? You know what I'm saying? I've seen that in my own life. And it's all about how interested, this is for you just to think about, how interested are you personally in spiritual growth, in maturity, in becoming more like Jesus? God says, this is what all of creation and all of history has been about. I want to take up residence in your life. I want you and I to become one. this one flesh imagery. I mean, it's the picture that we are to have. And God says, that's why I created you. That's what I want for you. And you have no idea the amazing things that I have prepared for you to experience. You have no idea the wonderful things that I want for you. But there's just so many other things. God, I'm busy. I've got my family. That's pretty good for me. I love my family. I don't need much more than that, you know? And it's something for you to just think about. If you are one that, like Romans 8 had talked about, if you are one that loves God, you have responded to Him. You've said, yes, I've heard and I've seen you pursuing me, chasing after me. You know what? I want to surrender to the God that you are and what you've done for me. I want to accept these gifts that you've done for me. So much so, he is out of his head in love with his bride, with his people, with you. And God, to the point that you would send your own son, Jesus, to die for me. If you have responded to him, if you follow Christ, I want you to think about, if you claim to, I want you to think about spiritual growth and maturity in your life over the last 6 months. How much more like Jesus are you than you were 6 months ago? What is God saying to you about that? Now, by the way, be careful the voices you listen to in your head. Okay? Because I'm not talking about the self-condemning, overly critical thoughts that you will say to yourself. Or that, worse yet, your enemy, Satan, would say to you. Like, you're no good, you never will, so don't bother. You know, those kinds of things. Ignore those. I'm talking about the voice of God speaking into your life about your spiritual growth and maturity. You're becoming more like Jesus over the last 6 months. It probably goes something more like this. I want so much more for you in this area. I want so much more for you in this thing, or in that relationship, or in those ways. So I want you to listen and think about it. What is God saying to you about your own spiritual maturity, your own spiritual growth, your own call from your own Creator to become more like Jesus? Are you? What will we do? What will you do in response to Him? I want you to think about this. These might be great questions that you could share with if you're part of a house church right now. Or if you're not, go to one this week and listen to people talk about this and share about it, okay? What is one way? Think of one way you need to become more like Jesus. I believe God would point that out to you. And all of a sudden you go, I'm thinking about this relationship where, you know, or I'm thinking about this thing I do or whatever it is. I believe God will reveal that to you. How can you do that? How can you do it? Here's something I want us to do to finish. Scott, will you grab that box on the windowsill right behind you? Excellent. I'm gonna pass these cards this way, and some of those that way, and why don't we do a couple up here, okay? And let's get some pens going. Different directions, okay? I'll take a few up here. Alright. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab one of these cards. These are our old connection cards. It was a way of just, you know, people letting us know who they were and who was here and anything we can pray for and anything we can learn about. And they didn't get used very much. So let's put them to good use for something. Here we go. I want you to, I don't know, maybe right on the back of this card where there's more space. What is one of the ways that you need to become more like Jesus? If you're even interested. If you're not interested, you know what? I understand that. I think most of us do. Because we just have no idea. I use the analogy of, it's like going to Disney World for the first time as a little kid, and you've never been there before, you have no clue what lies on the other side of that gate, but you get out of the parking lot, and it rained a little while ago, and you see mud puddles, and you go, yeah, I just want to play in the mud puddles, you know? It's that kind of thing. You're content to play in the mud puddles right now. I'm telling you, God has something so much more for you. But if you're not even interested, I understand. I'd like to know that so I can pray for you specifically about it. But maybe you are, and you go, I just know this is one way I need to become more like Jesus. This is one area in which I need to become more like Jesus. It might be, I mean, how I think, the things that I really value in my life, how I treat this person, how I talk to my spouse. It could be anything like that. But I want you to know what it is. So write it down. Take a second to do that, okay? And you'll have the rest of the, you know, we're not going to be too much longer, but you'll have a little bit left. We'll do a couple more songs. And if nothing has come to mind just now, maybe as we use songs this morning, maybe something will. And you can write it on there. And I'm going to have you drop them in one of the backpacks here. We'll pass these around in a couple minutes. By the way, we should probably come up with something new. You know, we've used these backpacks for a while, right? Kind of a, you know, it's all about journey. We're on a journey together. Maybe now that we're kind of in a new day and a new space or something, we should use something different. But if you have any thoughts on that, let us know. I'll pass those around in a minute. You can drop it in there if you want to share financially with one another and with the Ministry of Journey. You can do that too at that time. But you do not have to put your name on it. But let me explain something. If you want to, you can drop it in a bag, the blue card. But you know what I think would be even better? Is if you would actually give that to someone. Someone who is part of the body of Christ with you. Whether it be a spouse, a friend, a person you know. And say, would you pray for me about this? And there might not be a lot of detail on it. That's okay. You don't have to give a lot of detail. God knows it. And you know what? I think it'd be even better if we actually did this together with one another. And it wasn't just Chad and Brad, no. And just Chad and Brad are going to pray. No, we're praying for each other. And we're saying to each other, this is where I need to grow. This is what it's about right now. And maybe that person would even ask you about it. The next time they see you, say, hey, were you a little more like Jesus this week in that way? Are you experiencing Christ in you? How is it? And you know, the more we do that, could you imagine the amazing things that will begin to happen kind of in and amongst us and through us? If we're really living Christ in us, we've got to believe that it will result in some amazing things. In fact, at the end of Colossians 1, 27, I think it is, he said, it's the hope of glory. It's the hope of sharing in this amazing thing that God has promised he's going to do. And by the way, next week, I'm going to talk to you about the engagement gift that God has given to us. Okay? God, seriously, it's in the Bible. By the way, here's my challenge to you. Read the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesian church this week. You'd find it in there, probably about page 1545 or something like that. And it's a letter to the Ephesian church. Read it and see if you can figure out what is the engagement gift that Jesus gave to his church. What is it? It's like an engagement ring almost. What is it? See if you can find it. We'll talk about that next week. Let's go out just kind of praising, worshiping, reflecting on any of these things. I'll pass these backpacks in a moment. And we'll pass that box around too, wherever it ended up. You can throw a pen in there, and you can throw a card in here, or hand it to someone. Better yet, remember. And if you want to just, you know, give financially today too, you can do that.
First, I just want to say thank you and well done to those of you that stopped by and grabbed a paintbrush or a hammer and helped us kind of finish this space and continue to work on it. Even just through the week or maybe on the weekend, you stopped by and it's great. It's coming together well. We still got a few things left to do in some of the other rooms, it's great. Chad and I, just as this space is beginning to take shape, we've had some time just to sit and talk and dream, not only about what, you know, this space could look like, but what we could look like here in this space. We shared some things last month with you. We watched a video together. We talked through this idea of house churches and what that might look like here as we meet together. We shared some things like, you know what, maybe it would be best for us to meet here only twice a month, and then the other 2 weeks we'd meet in homes. And we're going to start that in November. We, as we've been in this space and we're getting used to this space a little better, and we're painting and dreaming about what we can look like here, we want to just slow that down a little bit. We want to use this space in a lot of different ways. First of all, we want to use this space to just learn to do house churches better. We want to provide opportunities for people to try out a house church. And we can do that here in the space, which we've never been able to do before because we've always been in a space where we can only meet on Sundays. Now we can meet here anytime. So we want to open this space up sometimes maybe during the week and provide opportunities for people who aren't a part of a house church to come and maybe just to sit and to listen. Here's what house churches are. Here's why we do house churches. Or maybe times where we can come and say, hey, you know what, we're going to do this thing that we call taste and see, where you can come and you can, there's no commitments whatsoever. You can come and check it out. We're going to do a house church right here. And you come see what it's all about without having to really like go to someone's house and try it right here. We also want to do a few things like train up house church hosts. We haven't really had an opportunity to do that very well yet, and we want to do that. So we want to maybe even throughout the week provide maybe a night where people can come here and say, you know what, I'm kind of interested in maybe hosting a house church, but I don't really know how, or I don't really know what that would require of me. So I'd like to maybe just listen and hear a little bit about that. So we want to do some of that. We thought, you know what, maybe at the end of the year, we'll begin to think and roll around in our minds and continue to dream about what this could look like when we continue to do house churches better. So we're going to continue to meet here on a weekly basis through the end of the year. And then in January, we'll start to dream about maybe going to every other week, or if we did that, what that would look like, or how we would do that. And I think by then we'll have a better idea of what maybe that would entail. Maybe that would look differently than what we've talked about already. Maybe it would look the same. We're not really sure. So we're going to continue to pray about it and ask you to continue to pray about that. Pray about our house churches. I thought through, you know, as I'm filling out this card, you know, what does it look like for me to become more like Jesus, for my life to look more like Jesus? What does it look like for us as a community to become more like Jesus and live more like Jesus? And I started thinking about Jesus. I started thinking about his life. We see 3 years of Jesus' life, and we get glimpses of what he was doing, of where he was at, of what he was saying, of who he was with. And you know, the majority of the time that we see pictures of Jesus, you know what he's doing? He's at a party. He's at dinner. He's eating with people. He's hanging out with groups of people. The top on my list, I want to learn how to do that better. I want to learn how to party better. Really, I mean, if we want to become more like Jesus, and we see the life of Jesus and the glimpses of his life that we get, almost all of them are him hanging out with people, partying. I want to do that better. That's one of the reasons we do house churches. I know top of the list for many of you are probably like, I want to learn to pray better. I want to read the Bible more. And those are great things. But as a community, we need to draw together. We need to learn to hang out better and party better. We do that through house churches here. So I just want to throw that out there, invite you to experience house churches as we begin to do that better here. You'll hear more and more about that in the future as we begin to create more opportunities for you to experience that. So we just want to throw that out there again. We meet on a regular basis all the time to dream about and continue to talk about and think about and pray about all of these things. And we have a limited opportunity to share that with all of you. So we want to do that, make a point to do that on a weekly basis when we meet together here, as well as through emails and maybe like up on our blog. So we're going to try and stay connected as best we can. Let's finish with...
Yeah, great. When you were talking about that...
He loves us and says, I want to take up residence in your life. I just want to pray a blessing on you. Is that everything? Yeah, okay. Pray a blessing on you and we'll go. Lord God, thanks for today. We pray that we would discover in a fresh and a very powerful way this week and weeks to come and months to come what it means, Christ in us. Might we live that way. Might we live Christ in us. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.